The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm hoping the Big Ten has to modify their system for us.
Probably like getting grade 10 sandpaper rubbed on your face every day.
I mean, we say it all the time, whether, you know, there's two types of turds. You're a sinker or you're a floater, but you're still a turd, right? I mean,
we are about players and players playing the plays and not necessarily the plays.
Welcome to the Varsity Club Podcast. My name is Derek Peterson. I'm joined this week by Aaron Sorensen. Aaron, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I don't want to step foot in a car for more than like 15 minutes again for at least the rest of this year.
Did you drive back home for the holidays?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So I was in Oklahoma, then I was in San Francisco, then I was in Hawaii, then I was in, which, like, you know, don't feel bad. Like, you know, these were fun trips.
I don't feel bad for you, but
then I was in Hawaii, then I was in San Francisco again, then I was in Illinois for like 4 days, and then we were back in Oklahoma. So like 12-hour drive to and from Oklahoma, like 14 hours, whatever it was, on the airport and on planes. I am traveled out, and I am very happy to be back home. Sitting at my desk again, I feel like I haven't worked at my desk in like a full month. It's been a literal month since I've been working at my full desk. It feels like everything's been on iPad or laptop. It's nice to have two monitors here, which is definitely first world problems.
It is. My husband has been trying to upgrade his home office setup, because for him, he does a lot of spreadsheets and different things that, like, it's helpful if you can see across different screens. So I got him a couple of monitors for the holidays and for Christmas. And the thing that's like wild is like monitors are not like, and I say this relatively to like everyone, but I'm just saying, like, I was expecting monitors to cost more than they do now. I don't remember the last time I bought a monitor. So like going into it, I was like, Sam's Club had like 24-inch curved Samsung monitors for like $109, which I don't know what I was expecting, but that was like pretty like reasonable. So,
well, it depends on what you get. Cause I have a curved 34-inch right here, and that one was like $470. And then I have a 27-inch flat. They're both LG. So that's, you know, you paid a premium for LG, but I have one that is specifically used for my PlayStation 5.
The gaming
one. So it has to be gaming.
Yep. And the gaming ones are more expensive.
I'm not going to tell you what the price of that one was. That one was expensive.
I did learn that. Like, if you're going to get a gaming one, yeah, those are far more expensive. So yeah. He did not need that. So, like I said, I was just expecting like a much different price point. And now those were also on sale. I will point that out. Like, that's not their normal price point. But at the same time, I was just like, oh, you could get like 10 of these. If you like, in comparison to like what I was like,
just a mega desk. Well, I hope everybody listening to this had a good Christmas. If you celebrate, a good holiday season. If you don't celebrate Christmas, hope everybody got to see family, got to have some off time from work. Aaron and I were talking before we started podcasting. Like, this is definitely like the dead period of the work calendar. Like, mm-hmm. The week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, where just no one is working. Like, my wife right now is technically supposed to be on the clock and, you know, has been working for the last few days. But, like, she's the only person in her office that is that is on or in office or doesn't have like an out of office message really gets kicked back on emails. So hopefully, if you are one of those folks that are working, it's not too much heavy lifting. And if you get to be off this time, good for you. Aaron, I want to open this podcast up with what's going to be a very controversial little opening. I asked you to rank your top five Christmas movies. So I want to hear who your number five is or what your number five is.
So I just want to point out that like I don't watch a lot of movies. So people are going to be like, what is wrong with you? And let me make sure I have my five. And I just need to preface that, like, I understand I objectively have bad taste in some movies and shows, and I don't care. I am at an age in my life that I just don't care. It's entirely based on what I like. So my number five is Christmas Vacation.
Number five?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you're going to get horrified as we continue.
Wow, we're starting off strong. Number five.
Well, trust me.
Okay, all right. That's my number one. That's my number one. So we got that out of the way. Five for me is Spider-Man No Way Home. Yep. If we can say Die Hard is a Christmas movie,
why not?
I'm putting the new Spider-Man movie in the Christmas movie category. It's the category of movies that take place at Christmas time, but don't actually like involve any kind of like Christmas themes or elements or anything like that. But you can still consider it a Christmas movie because it's happening around Christmas time. That's what we do with Die Hard.
It's true.
And it has become like one of the most popular like pop culture things. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Yes, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. So I'm going with Spider-Man. No Way Home is my number five Christmas movie because it's one of my favorite movies, just period. So it makes it onto the Christmas list.
Okay.
Do you watch a lot of Christmas movies in general? You say you don't watch movies. Do you get when it gets to Christmas time? We're about to get into the rotation
of the ones that I watch pretty much. Like, now I will say a caveat to this. I didn't even think about this. I could have put A Nightmare Before Christmas on this list because it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I love Nightmare Before Christmas. I tend to lean more toward it being a Halloween movie, but I also do like it as a Christmas movie. I did not include it on this list.
Okay.
But, you know.
So we start off with Christmas Vacation. That's like very strong. Where are we going with number four?
It doesn't get better. I am going to put A Charlie Brown Christmas next. It's not even technically a movie. It's like a 30-minute show, but I love Charlie Brown Christmas.
Is that did you watch it growing up?
Oh, yeah. And I watched it again. Like, I watch it every year, sometimes more than once. And as I've gotten older, I've realized how objectively awful everyone is to Charlie Brown. Like, he is, like, bullied, like, hardcore bullied. Now, he's kind of a grump at the same time, too. He's just, like, bulldozing around being mean to everyone. Like, he's not like mean to everyone, but like he's like in charge of the like Christmas play and he's like, oh, everyone's doing a bad job, and I'm like, Charlie Brown, come on. But like everyone is just so mean to him, but they all learn the meaning of Christmas in the end, so it's you know a good movie,
nice and wholesome. My number four is a new one. Have you seen the Klaus movie on Netflix?
Mm-mm.
Animated movie.
No.
It's new, but I believe it won an award, which was like Oscar, Academy Award. I don't know what you get for movies. I don't remember which one it is, but I think it won an award. It's excellent. It's very good. And I think like Alex and I were actually talking about, we watched it. It maybe came out 2 or 3 years ago. And I watched it for the first time last year. And we were like, okay, well, we're just going to make this a tradition where this is going to be our Christmas Eve movie every year. We'll try to make this like a, you know, when we have a family 50 years from now, whenever that might be. We'll watch this on Christmas Eve. That movie is really good. It's got a lot of people in it too, voicing characters, which is impressive. So that's my number four. We've gone Christmas Vacation at number five. We've gone to Charlie Brown Christmas at number four, which by the way is just an absurd ordering of those movies. But it's your ranking, so I will. You know, it's whatever.
I'm going based on of like what I will watch like over and over and over.
No, yeah, Christmas. Of course, yeah.
So I want people to understand, like, these are movies like that I will just watch like the in order, like as we get to number one, like I will watch them multiple times.
And to be clear, because we're doing another one of these in a second that will not be Christmas related. It'll be Nebraska related. Mm-hmm. But to be clear, I asked you for your favorites, not what you think the best are. These are your favorites. So
exactly.
I will give you grief for having Charlie Brown Christmas ahead of Christmas Vacation, but it is your favorite.
It's going to get better.
So what's ahead of Charlie Brown Christmas at number three?
I would say The Grinch Stole Christmas, but not the Jim Carrey one. The actual original animated one. I really love the original one. So that's just a favorite. Again, it's just like, it's so easy to watch it over and over and over again.
Do you not like the Jim Carrey one? Or is it just if you had a choice between the two, you're picking the original animated?
If I had a choice between the two, I like the original. My only issue with the Jim Carrey one is people, whenever I have this conversation, are like, but he's so great in it. I'm like, I understand. He's a great actor. He did a great job in The Grinch, but it's almost too real. Like, it's almost too much. Where, like, for me, I want kind of just the, like, frivolousness of it. So while there's a deeper meaning, obviously, to The Grinch and everything else that he learns within that movie, like, something about the cartoon version of it just, like, doesn't feel so, like, I don't know. It's easier to just kind of watch it passively as well. Whereas like the Jim Carrey one is more like you're in it, you're watching this movie, and that makeup on that one is also a little more terrifying. So
have you watched the new animated one, the newer animated one? I think it was Illumination that did it. I haven't watched it either. I heard the other day, and I did not know this, but the scene in the Jim Carrey one where he goes to pull the tablecloth off the table.
And he didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, he didn't mean to do that. It was supposed to wreck everything. And so mm-hmm. he pulls it off and everything stays. And then when he walks back over and knocks everything over and knocks the table over, that was just Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Good for him.
On that note, my number three is the Jim Carrey Grinch.
Oh, relatable.
Yeah.
So that's synergy.
He's excellent.
I like how I made like a house like synergy.
What's funny because Alex and I do the thing where when we talk about like when we are thinking the same thing or we say the same thing or we kind of have that like synergy moment, mm-hmm. we'll go telepathy. We got that telepathy. And I don't really know what this means for people that are not watching the YouTube video. I just put my hand on my head and like shake my fingers. I don't really know what that means, but that's what we do. So synergy works too.
Sorry.
Number two, where you at?
Elf. I love Elf. I could watch Elf year round. Like, yeah. I love that movie.
So you know, good. That movie gets played so much.
It does.
So
you have
much.
To be, it's kind of like the radio. You got to be careful. You can't just turn on your television and just let it go because you will probably end up watching Elf like 15 times.
Elf and Christmas Vacation, it seems like those are like the holiday go-tos for TV channels that want to play Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And so like, If you are somebody that has cable or somebody that just like has the TV on, like you could end up watching Elf and Christmas Vacation like 20 times in the month.
Because they start playing Elf in like October. Like that's the other part is they start playing it really early.
you gotta be intentional about when you watch it so you don't get burnt out on it. But Elf is number two for me as well.
Nice.
So
synergy.
We got a little bit of synergy. Okay, you know my number one. My number one is Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
You have Christmas Vacation 5. You have Elf number 2. I have no idea what's number one.
Oh my gosh, it's going to make so many people mad. And I really don't care. It's A Christmas Story. I love A Christmas Story. And I don't even mean it. Like, I have read all of the people who are like, it is an objectively bad movie or it is not good. It is like a cult favorite now. It wasn't. And all of that stuff. Like, no, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's this fantastic movie in like the sense of like, it's corny. It's, you know, there are parts of it that are like not the most well-written, but it's just like, I don't know. For me, I think something, especially as I've gotten older, is like, we talk a lot about like Christmas magic, holiday magic, and how like, you know, a lot of that's lost as you get older, because you realize like the people who made that real for you were like your parents. And as you get older, you have to like make your own holiday magic, if you will. For me, when I watch A Christmas Story, that's like holiday magic for me. So like, it's my number one because it makes me happy. I just like, especially because they play it like for 24 hours starting on Christmas Eve, but I'll watch it before then. And for anyone who's asked, I have watched the like new one, which is actually more of a prequel-ish type of, it's really actually kind of cool how they set the whole thing up to work within the world of A Christmas Story. And it's very good. It's very much in the same vein of the original, but if you don't like the original, you will not like the second one. But you kind of have to just go into it that they were, you know, kind of playing off the same jokes, the same style, the same, all of that. But it's just like, I don't know, like the way that I know that people feel about Christmas Vacation, for instance, which I do really like that movie. But the way that I know that like people feel about The Holiday, for example, which didn't even make my top five.
His favorite movie.
I just think that there's something about certain Christmas movies or holiday movies that just make you like, they either make you laugh or they make you feel like just like nostalgic for, you know, the holiday season, or it's like just something that like makes you feel in the spirit of it, or it brings you a little brightness if your holiday season isn't so bright. Like there's just something about it that, so for me, that movie is A Christmas Story. It just always makes me happy.
It's kind of like, you know, my wife and I were having this conversation about rom-coms, like, you know, 2000s era, early 2010s rom-coms. They're all kind of the same movie.
Yeah. They're definitely kind of like a style book.
Yeah. But everybody has their own like favorite rom-com. Even though they all sort of follow like the same sort of schedule, everybody likes different ones. And it just sort of depends on like, what do you have emotional attachments to? What is that? If that triggers something. So like Christmas Vacation, we watched all the time with my grandparents. Mm. And there are specific scenes in that movie where when I'm watching it, even if I'm not with my grandfather, I can hear his cackling laughter. that makes it sound rude. His laugh is cute. I can hear his laughter at specific scenes. And so that one will always hold a special place in my heart. I have a question for you, though, because one movie that was notably absent from both of our top fives is Home Alone. Was Home Alone close? Did it get consideration?
It did, but then I had this discussion of, I think I actually like the second one more than I like the first one. I think I like the New York one more. I had this conversation actually with my husband, with Kyle, about Home Alone. And like, we both like think we like the first one, but at the same time, we're like not sure if it's like something that we would go seek out to watch it, like if it's on TV. But like, I would choose to watch the second one. So like, I think the second one is like just outside of my top five, whereas the first one is kind of like in a would consider if it just happens to be on TV type of movie for me.
I love both of those movies, but I was going to give you a hot take, which now doesn't seem as hot. I was going to tell you that I think Home Alone 2 is significantly better than Home Alone 1, even though like it's this, they did the exact same thing.
Oh yeah.
Between the first one and the second one. And the second one was better.
It's just more fun because it's like in a different location and they're running around New York. You've got the pigeons, like, you got FAO Schwartz, or I know it's like not FAO Schwartz or whatever in the movie, but like you've got the, like, I don't know, there are a few places like New York at Christmas time in New York City, and they definitely kind of capture that within it.
Plus he absolutely destroys the family's home, destroys it.
Oh yeah,
at the end. So
yeah,
okay. Let's move into like the main topic. So I want
the stuff that people are actually here for. But if are here
for Christmas stuff,
no, too. I want people on, if they're watching on YouTube though, I want them to leave a comment about their favorite Christmas movie. You can't shame. We're not going to shame you, but just leave a comment and tell us what yours is, because I'm curious how different people's are. If you want to debate the Die Hard thing in the comments, please do. That's fine. Nothing like a little end of year debate on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. I mean, like, but that being said, Spider-Man No Way Home is a Christmas movie, and we will not be accepting any arguments to the contrary. So if you would like to take that argument to YouTube's comment section, don't do it. We will not allow that. Aaron, we are moving into a new era of Nebraska football. So I had this idea with us. You know, it's December 29th when we're recording this. Maybe you're listening to this podcast on like New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Like everybody's getting ready to sort of transition to like the next era, the next year. They're like, they have plans that they want to do for this next year. They have things that they want to do. Nebraska wants to be better at football in the new year. Nebraska wants to be a better football team, a more complete football team in the new year. Nebraska has a new coach. to reach that goal. Matt Rhule is beginning, and he has technically already begun. He's gone through the early signing period. Nebraska has a new signing class. But with us sort of moving into a new year, there's sort of like a newness of the whole thing. And so with that being the case, I was actually reading the 2019 Hail Varsity yearbook a couple days ago.
Throwback.
And I was reading the story that I wrote with Luke Gifford and Gerald Ford and Mick Stoltenberg.
You did not interview the president. You interviewed Gerald Foster, not Gerald Ford.
What did I say?
You said Gerald Ford.
Gerald Foster. Gerald Foster. I talked to Gerald Foster.
Yes, for everyone, for the 2019 Hail Varsity yearbook, Derek actually talked to a former United States president.
I did. He had a lot of big thoughts on Nebraska football. And I was just reading about that first year, that 2018 season, where they start 0-6 under Scott Frost. They close with 4 wins in their last 6 games. There was some excitement. There was that moment against Michigan State, which, like, I don't remember if it was John or if it was Eric that captured the photo, but it's Scott holding the ball up in the snow with, like, the biggest smile on his face. I don't know if you know, folks, how many folks listening to this will, like, want to reminisce on good moments from the previous era of Nebraska football, but we're talking about top fives. And so I asked you to come up with your 5 favorite memories of the previous era of Nebraska football. And I didn't really give you any more parameters than that. So, like, if you go back to Mike Riley's era, or if you go back to, you know, like, there were some good moments in the 2016 season. Kind of like, you know, this is pretty open-ended, so I kind of let you run with it. As I was thinking back, the Minnesota win where they got their first win of the season and just sort of that release in 2018, I was thinking about that Michigan State game. So I kind of want to hear, as somebody, you know, I think one of your best attributes as a reporter, as a writer, is the ability that you have to build relationships with the players on the team that we were covering. And so you had this sort of, like, emotional attachment to some of this stuff. So I'm curious, as you look back on some of the good moments of the previous era, where you're going to go with this, if this is going to be another situation where Christmas Vacation comes in at number 5.
I do think you changed my top one, actually. So.
Oh, okay. So your number, let's start with your number 5 and we'll work our way up. What's your number 5?
I would say my number 5 is probably, and this is going to feel a little bit like cheating, but just go with me. There's a reason it's 5, is the Peach Bowl in 2017, the 2017. And the reason why I bring that one up is I went to Atlanta and got a chance to watch that Scott Frost UCF team. And I want to point out, if for people who are like, I don't want to reminisce about Scott Frost, a lot of this is about the players. And I think that that's something we're celebrating over the last decade, no matter how you felt about any coach, is the players who are part of the program and made everything what it is, or the support staff. But I do remember that sort of kicked off a time period that I just remember the excitement around it. Like, players were so excited. The players at Nebraska, you know, were watching what was going to happen at the Peach Bowl. That was also the time period where Scott was both recruiting for Nebraska at the same time that he was coaching that UCF team, and had flown to, you know, California to recruit Adrian Martinez almost like instantly. There's just so much. I just remember returning home from that and Noah Vedral was on my flight. And at the time, no one knew what he was going to do, but it kind of was becoming clear that he was going to leave UCF and, like, Nebraska was going to probably be his landing spot. And I think in that moment, that the reason I put it on the list is just the camaraderie and the feeling around the program at that moment in time, when no one knew it was to come, was so almost electric. People were so ready for spring football to begin, to see what would happen, that I think will always be a pretty big moment for me over the last, you know, sort of decade especially, but just kind of that moment of hope. I think that's what brings everyone back to sports, is that idea of hope. And there was definitely a lot of it at that moment. And I'd say that's probably why people have not maybe felt that exact same thing, because that was sort of lightning in a bottle. You get this, you know, former player coming back. It had just this amazing season at UCF. It was sort of this thing you aren't going to replicate in most cases. It was like the perfect story that unfortunately had the all but perfect ending. But that moment at the beginning of it was a really great memory.
I don't have my own top five list. I'll have a little, a few moments that I'll sprinkle in here, but okay. I want to hear yours, and I want to make sure that we give time for yours, because you're on a little bit of a time crunch today. One of my favorite, just like little nuggets was, mm-hmm. is actually something that plays at the beginning of this podcast. And I actually had somebody reach out to me, a week or two ago and be like, you have to change the intro audio, mm-hmm. which we probably do. we'll figure it out in the new year. It's Eric Chenander with the little mic lapel thing, holding it versus clipping it onto his
jacket. Oh, you mean Fabiaco, not Chenander.
No. Chenander joking about it.
Oh, that's right. He did make the joke. I completely forgot about that.
He joked about it. Yeah. Is that at the beginning? No, the turd thing. You can polish a turd. It's still a turd. That's at the beginning of this podcast. No, the mic thing didn't make it in, actually. But the mic thing, where he makes fun of that whole situation and then sort of almost deadpans to the camera, like waits for the laugh track to kick in. That was excellent. Your number four favorite moment of the previous era of Nebraska football?
I would probably say that Michigan State moment was pretty great. That Michigan State game where I just remember the elation of everyone, but it was also such a cool game. Snow games are really cool. They create great photography. I know our photographers really like, it's very cold when that happens, but it also makes just for great photography. And that one was a lot of fun. Like, it was just fun to watch. And there was also a lot of serendipity with it, because that was also, I think the final score was 9-6. Mm-hmm. And every point in that game was scored by field goals. And that was also the game where both the Fultz family and the Sadler family were at Nebraska at Memorial Stadium. And there was just kind of a lot of it felt very fitting that the only points scored in this game were from kicks. So that one is honestly, that could be a like higher rated one, but that one's definitely in the top five. So I'd put it at four.
Yeah. Yeah. I already agree. Does the 2019 Northwestern game make your list? The ending of that game? That's Noah Vedral drives him down the field, gets in a field goal range. They kick a field goal to win 13-10. Oh, that's right. We've got that photo of Wandale Robinson kind of squatting on the sideline, looking at it with like his hand. Is that game on your list?
No,
based on your reaction, I'm thinking no.
I forgot about that game, honestly. Like, not trying to be like, but there's so much that happened over 5 years. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot about that game. I need to go find that photo.
Yeah, because that one was because, you know,
I see the photo in my head. I think maybe why Nebraska Northwestern like just doesn't sometimes register for me is because of how wild that series is in general. Because when you said Nebraska Northwestern, my mind just turned through like five different things where I'm like, which Nebraska Northwestern? You could sit there and be like, what's your favorite Nebraska Northwestern ending? And it's like, was it Ron Kellogg? Was it, you know, there's so many of these like just close matchups between these two programs that make for like a lot of good memories
and a lot of bad memories I think the reason that 2019 game stands out so much is because of just sort of like the feeling on the field, mm-hmm. in Evanston in 2018, mm-hmm. when they were so close to having their first win, and then it just fell apart at the last possible second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your number three?
Okay, this one's going to be wild. But see, I think if we look at a lot of these from the last, you know, it's kind of sad. Somebody's going to point this out. They're going to be like, oh, this kind of all has a theme. It does to a degree. But like that, you brought up the 2019 season. The one win that stood out to me was at Maryland. That game was in the rain. And so maybe there's something about this that like there's things that like happen that remind me of a moment. So like I remember that Maryland game because of the rain. And I remember kind of thinking like, how is this going to affect this team? Like how is this, you know, anytime there's any kind of like adverse weather, you kind of wonder like how it's going to affect different things. And I remember that one because of, and it's so funny because I'm don't always know. So Nebraska won that one 54-7. I had to just go double check. And that one felt like, I just remember the look on people's faces. They were just so thrilled. They were so happy. Greg Austin was like standing off to the side of the field after the game. And you could just tell how happy everyone was. And they were yelling at each other, but not like yelling, like, but they were just like so joyful. And I think like those are the moments for me that I remember is kind of like when these players had that level of joy. So like I guess you could put like Northwestern beating Northwestern in a close game, and maybe that's why Michigan State stood out. But there's just these moments where you felt so happy for them, where you're like, they finally got one, and then it just like couldn't stay consistent. Like that's the stuff where it's just like they couldn't stay consistent with it. And that's the hard part, because when those memories come back, where then the next week Nebraska loses 27-24 to Iowa, it's this heartbreaking like loss. And so you go from this like absolute like high to this, you know, kind of pretty low, knowing you're not going to make a bowl game. This was sort of it. So yeah, that one stands out to me. But I could almost lump a lot of that 2019 season into one now that you brought up Northwestern, which I just completely forgot about.
Where are you going at for number two?
I'm going to go with Ireland as a trip. And I will bring that up because it was the one thing I want to say about something like that. So like when John Cook takes volleyball overseas and they've traveled to China and they've played else, you know, they've played in other countries, is it's such an opportunity for the student athletes. And I think that was for me the coolest part about seeing the team in Ireland when they had that big pep rally and there's so many fans there. And obviously with Northwestern, there's so many memorable moments from that game. Someone will bring on the onside kick and everything else. But aside from that, I just remember that pep rally, and they were just like they were so excited about it. Like they looked out into this crowd of people and they were just having the best time. Even, you know, Scott Frost, who had become over his career more and more tightly controlled with how much he would let people in, you could tell was letting a little bit more loose. But I remember even like after they left the stage and they came down, Trev Alberts was walking off with his wife and he walked up to me and was just like, can you believe this? Like they were just floored by the support and the fact that people, and I just thought like, what an amazing experience for every single person that is here, fan, student athlete, everything. You wish the outcome of the game had been different, of course, but there's something about getting to go see and experience something different. And for a lot of these student athletes, this was their first time out of the country. They had to get passports. They had to get, you know, a lot of things together to make it possible. So I really appreciated that whole, I don't know, just getting to see that moment take place for student athletes was cool.
Yeah, I'm sure. Sort of in that same vein, I don't, you know, like the game did not, like a lot of these, like the game doesn't end the way the fan base wants it to end. But for me, like I grew up around, I grew up in Omaha, just outside Omaha in Bellevue. So like I knew how important Nebraska football was, but then like, you know, I spent so many years in Oklahoma. I went to school at OU. When I came back, sort of the you know, that Oregon game in 2017, when we went out to Eugene, that one was like, oh, wow, there's a lot of Nebraska fans here. Mm-hmm. The I have a memory that just sticks out in my brain of seeing just a literal sea of red at the Colorado game.
Yeah.
In Boulder. And just like,
that was wild.
Thinking like, this fan base is ridiculous. Like, this fan base is insane. Like, I know, you know, it's Colorado. So, you know, it's not like having to get a plane ride or a dirt drive cross country out to Oregon. You know, it's a little bit easier to get to for a lot of folks or for some folks. But mm-hmm. still, like, you know, it was a non-conference game out of the state. Nebraska just completely took that stadium over.
Yep.
I remember that sort of sticks out in my brain from the previous eras. Like, for me personally, just being like, this fan base is ridiculous. This is incredible.
Truly.
We just went over your number three, correct?
No, that was two.
That was two? Yeah. Okay. Where are you at with number one?
So I, now as I'm saying these all out loud, because like, I just want to point out to anyone listening, like, this was really hard. There's so many moments over not only just the last like 5 years, but also over the last decade, last 15, 20 years that you could point to that are. And so I did just keep it to the last five. So I do want to, after we do number one, give a caveat, since you said I could have technically opened it up if I would have thought that way, because I do want to point one thing out that I think is a moment people will appreciate. But my number one is the win over Iowa this year. And the reason I bring that up is I think like a lot of my most memorable moments for Nebraska, again, is when there's something that is substantial for the student athlete, for the person who has like poured their heart and soul into something for however many years and maybe not gotten to see the results that they would have liked to have seen from them. And I think for myself, what stood out is I was standing in the end zone, like maybe 10 feet from the Heroes Trophy. And, I knew it was coming. I'm like, they're going to obviously be running right this way. And so I kind of like made sure that I was in a spot where I could watch that. And you're trying to do this thing where you're trying to take the moment in while also capturing it, because for Hail Varsity, obviously for people that aren't there, you want to capture that moment so people can feel it. Not everyone can be right there in that moment on the sideline. So you're trying to, but it was just like watching someone like Garrett Nelson, for instance, who poured again his heart and soul into Nebraska, whether, you know, he saw the results that he wanted to or not, felt he accomplished what he wanted to or not. I think all of them would say that they didn't accomplish what they wanted to in their time. But he had this moment where, yes, it's the Heroes Trophy, it's a win over Iowa, but it was like they won the Super Bowl. And he's walking that trophy down the entire line of fans, making sure that everybody can touch that trophy. And to see the photo that was taken where a bunch of them jumped up into the stands and Casey Thompson is in the middle of it and Garrett Nelson is right to his side, and then, you know, players filled in around them. I remember over the summer, there was a lot of kind of like, you know, conversation of like, how was Casey Thompson going to fit in? Was he going? And I mean, we even talked about it on this podcast. I talked about the differences of how Casey's personality is to someone like Adrian's personality, and how not one makes one better or worse than the other, but that Casey is a very individual focused and, you know, person, like, and that's okay. But in that moment, it was kind of showed you that like they were all just a team excited about this win. They accomplished this thing that they set their, they got the win. The one that I just brought up in 2019, where you go and you beat Maryland big, but then you lose 27-24 to Iowa. Nebraska had been looking for that win over Iowa for many, many years and finally got it. And I understand, and I've seen it in the comments where people are like, who cares? Like, it's just beating Iowa. But you know what? This is why we love the game of football, basketball, any sport, like soccer, doesn't matter, is the chance to do something unexpected. And I think that one was truly the unexpected thing after the last season, especially. I will probably never forget that moment. And I am grateful that I got to witness it, because I think there's something incredibly powerful about experiencing joy. And I really encourage Nebraska fans, as much as you can, like, I understand the last, like, I'm not telling you to settle. Please don't, like, have high expectations. But if you're just looking for things to kind of like hang your hat on, look for those moments of joy. Look for the things that make the game what it is. And watching players be so happy and so excited and so just like joyful is a very rewarding thing. for me, because I've seen the people who go, oh, it's me. The media just wants them to lose because they like to like pile on and stuff. No, it's so much more fun to cover a win. It's so much more fun to cover people who are joyful and happy and getting to experience something great. It's not fun to sit and listen to people be sad and tell you the same thing all the time. So I will never apologize to anyone for being a person who looks towards the joy and looks towards those as my favorite moment. Like, I don't think anyone would fault me for it, but like, those are going to always be the things that stand out over anything else that happens, is like the moments that you just felt sincere joy for people. So that one stands out. And yeah, there's a recency bias, but I do think it was a pretty significant moment.
Yeah, no, I was gonna bring that one up if you didn't. So
good.
It makes sense as a number one. If you said you were gonna change or thought about changing, if we like bump the timeline back to include pre-Scott Frost, would you have had a significantly different order? Would you have had a different number one?
I mean, there would have been different moments in the Mike Riley era and even into the Bo Pelini era that I'd bring in. But I do want to just say, I think over the last 10 years, there was this moment. So at the spring game of this year, 2022, I bumped into Gerald Foltz, Sam Foltz's dad. And the thing about the Foltz family is, after Sam passed away, they were around pretty much all the time. They wanted to be able to really see the group of individuals that had been in Sam's recruiting class, and just, you know, anyone who knew him, they wanted to be around for those individuals. And so they continued to show up to every game, to be a part of things. And when I bumped into him at the spring game, and it might have actually been a spring practice, it doesn't, the whole when I bumped into him part doesn't matter. I just remember I gave him a big hug and said, I'm so glad to see you. And he goes, you know, I think the time has come that you probably aren't going to see me around all the time. And I'm getting kind of teary talking about it, because I was like, oh my gosh, why are you saying that? He's like, you know, at this point, Sam would have been graduated. All of the individuals that, you know, knew us have graduated and have started to move on. And now I'm just, he's always very, he's got a very good sense of humor, because he's like making, he like made fun of himself, where he's like, oh, these young kids don't need to see this old man around anymore, and, you know, have to like come and talk to him. Now they'll always be around for those games where they have the honor, they do the honor for the Sam Foltz scholarship and everything else. But like, that was the only game I saw them this year, and it was the first time in, you know, what, several years that I didn't see both Gerald and Jill at every single game, or at least most of them. And it kind of gave me this moment where, when you said, what's something that you will always remember? I will always remember the way that Mike Riley and his staff handled the loss of Sam Foltz, and how every team that came that season honored him by bringing jerseys with his name on it, or placing flowers at the 27-yard line, or just doing these little things to remember him. There were helmet stickers. There were just all these little things. But like, I also think more than anything else, I watched players come up to Nebraska players and just express their condolences. And it just, you suddenly like realize in this moment that yes, it's a game, and yes, there's a competition to be had here, but there's such a human level to it. And I don't know, something about that came very full circle for me this year when Gerald said, you know, like, I think this might be the last time I'm around all the time. And I just thought, like, it felt like kind of a strange, like, end of an era, if you will, where I was like, no, the Foltz family are in Nebraska. Like, and so they'll still be around. But like, I think if I can just kind of sum anything up, yes, Nebraska fans deserve wins. You deserve winning seasons. You deserve to feel happy and joyful all the time. But there was a lot of like very real human things that have happened in the last 5, 10, 15, 20 beyond years. And I think those are the things that make Nebraska special, is those moments where you realize what connected people and not what pulled them apart. And so I hope the Foltz family continues to know that they are more than welcome to always be around. They're some of the best people. And they know that, obviously, but I just hope that people continue to just like be good to one another as much as you can, because life is short. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So just be good to one another, because that is truly the best part of this, is what connects people. So when you hear people go, sorry, I'm on a rant now, but I'm just going to say, when you see that above the gates, through these gates, past the greatest fans in college football, you can argue that whether you believe that to be true or not, whatever, it doesn't matter. To make that continue to be true, just try to find the joy where you can. Again, have high standards. You don't deserve losing seasons. But I think just like kind of remembering what makes why we keep showing up to cover, to cheer for, to be a part of something. And it's about the people. It's not just about the results. But again, I say that. Please don't yell at me in the comments or tweet at me. I'm saying that you deserve wins too, but it is about the people.
Hey man, I don't know if that statement above the as you enter, I don't know if that's really up for debate. Like,
it has its moments, you know, when people get frustrated because they feel like people aren't like always
but even
happy.
Still, think about where I went to school. Think about what that fan base has looked like over the last 12 months.
Yeah, that's fair.
Particularly, there was a player who played at Oklahoma State, who starred on Oklahoma State's defense, who recently announced he was transferring to Oklahoma, and it has a lot of Oklahoma State fans in their feels about it. And there are even more Oklahoma fans being the moral compass, talking about how, no, you shouldn't do this. It's a kid. Be happy for the kid. Be happy for what he gave you. When, like, they have spent, and I know this because I run a Pac-12 social media account, literally 12 months in the mentions of USC and anything USC related, nonstop, just complaining. And I don't know if I can say a curse word, but crap talking.
Yeah, that's a fine. You
Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams incessantly. And like, I had one person who once told me, like, I don't want to hear about Wando Robinson anymore, which is like perfectly reasonable. But like, you know, people were happy to see Wandale succeed. Mm-hmm. And I think there were a lot of people that were happy to see Adrian Martinez succeed at Kansas State this past year.
Calpian people were excited to see Casey Rogers. He played fantastic for Oregon against North Carolina.
He had one of the plays of the game. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I saw a lot of people who were really thrilled for him. They were like, good God, just be like, it stinks because you wish that you could have seen that at Nebraska. But I do think a majority of fans, even the ones that are like, we want better results, do not fault the individuals when they go see them be successful elsewhere. They're not like,
cool to watch. I agree. It's cool to watch. It's cool to watch as a couple degrees more removed now that I am. Definitely great. I have, if you're listening to this through headphones, not watching on YouTube, if you're just listening to the podcast version of this and you have a specific favorite memory that we didn't talk about or something that you just want to add to, go ahead and tweet at Aaron and I and let us know. Aaron Sorensen is just her name, at Aaron Sorensen, S-E-N at the end. And tweet at me, at DR_PETEY. Let us know what your favorite memory is. If you're watching this on YouTube, drop it in the comments.
Anyone heard a belch while you said my handle, it was Scout, my dog. If you're watching, you would see her. But if you're listening, you won't. She decided to join the podcast once again, and she belched very close to my headphone speaker. So just Scout. Really great. Thank you so much for that.
Scout is just like a... At this point, I'm going to have to ask you and Scout on. This is two podcasts in a row that we've had a Scout appearance.
Yeah, she is definitely, she's got her, I should also say, sorry to everyone if you're like, she has a UNO collar on for my husband went to UNO. So yeah, she's Kyle got her there. UNO Mavericks collar on.
All right, well, yes. you've got stuff you got to do, Aaron, so I'll let you get to it. Thank you for coming on the podcast. It was good to, this was fun. This was a fun way to close out the year.
It was. Thank you for having me.
Thank you to all of you for listening, both to this episode and then all throughout the year. I really appreciate all of you guys. If you don't have a Hail Varsity subscription, go get that fixed. HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Use the promo code Varsity. I also want to say shouts to Cam for, you guys don't ever see him, but he produced this episode and every episode this year. He's excellent, even when I don't do the things that he asks me to do until like 5 minutes before this episode goes live. He's awesome. And so just shout out to him. I can see him in the little window. He's not in the He's not on the video right now, but I can see him just like laughing. He's like, yeah, this idiot will not give me the things that I need in a timely manner. So shouts to him for dealing with that and putting up with that. Shouts to you guys for listening again. Shouts to Aaron for being on. Hope you guys enjoyed the holidays and have a happy new year. And we'll be back next week. Thanks, guys.
A Huda Media Production.